Hey, 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 bombshells. So we are going to be talking about makeup today. Everyone's face is unique. The color, the texture of your skin, the shape of your face and its features. None of these remains constant throughout our lives. Seasons, hormonal fluctuations, diet and lifestyle, and the aging process all have an effect on our skin at different times throughout our life. So it's important for us to assess our face regularly, to change the way we put on our makeup and the products that we choose. We can't use the same products and colors and techniques we used at 20 and 30 when we are now possibly in our 40s, 50s, and beyond. Now, I in the past did an episode answering some typical questions that I get asked regularly about makeup. And although it is hard to hear in a podcast about makeup and its application, it's so much better to see a visual. I did try it. And I'm going to attempt again today to talk about specifically foundation and concealer. I am a makeup artist after all, and although much of what I help with and teach is about mindset, attitude, and lifestyle, as I said, I am still a makeup artist, and I want to give you advice and help on beauty and makeup as well as discussing other areas that help make you a well-rounded bombshell. So let's get started. I'm Dee, your feminine confidence coach, and I've been influenced by my lifelong love of old Hollywood when glamour and femininity reigned supreme. I want to help inspire you to tap into your inner feminine, encouraging you to not fear to shine your brilliance and be seen. Moving through life gracefully and powerfully is about mindset, attitude, and lifestyle, and you should be unapologetic in owning your feminine power. With each episode, my goal is to help inspire and elevate the quality of your life and encourage you to celebrate you. Think personal development meets old Hollywood glam and perhaps teaching you a few things your mama never did. Thank you for being here. Tell your friends and please leave a review if you like what you hear. First, know that your foundation does a few things. It creates a barrier against dirt and bacteria going into your pores. Evens out your complexion for a smooth and even finish, and acts as a primer to whatever you are now adding on top of it to help it stay better. Without foundation, your blush and bronzer would just absorb right into your skin and disappear in a couple of hours. Foundation comes in many forms, from powders, liquids, creams, to gels, mousses, and sprays. Coverage varies from light to heavy, and its finish can be sheer, dewy, creamy, or matte. Some come with sunscreen, illuminators, and even anti-aging ingredients. Tinted moisturizers give a very light, sheer coverage that allows the natural skin to show through, so it's great if you have good skin. But don't expect it to cover any age spots or darkness under your eyes. One of the most popular type of foundation, and my personal preference for myself and for my clients, has always been liquid foundation. Liquid can be oil-based, water-based, silicone-based, lightweight or heavier in consistency. Liquid foundation is really light and sheer, but it is buildable to layer and get as much coverage as you want wherever you need it. Liquid is more hydrating and moisturizing than powder or gel, but remember, dehydrated skin will drink up the water in the product, leaving you only left with pigments sitting on your face that will now look dry and flaky. So you must moisturize and hydrate the skin first. I've gotten clients in my chair that say they never use moisturizer. Oh my God. Can you imagine what your makeup will look like if your skin is, one, never exfoliated, and two, never moisturized? Moisturizer does several things, but one of them is to provide smooth, even coverage of your foundation. This goes for concealer as well. Can you imagine putting on concealer with no moisturizer first under your eyes? So remember, darling, don't forget to exfoliate if you want the perfect canvas for your makeup. Exfoliate your skin first before color matching, also looking for your right color, as dry flaking skin will throw the color off. And hydrate. Give your moisturizer time to absorb fully, meaning your skin should no longer have that tacky feeling that you have right after applying moisturizer. If you use sunscreen, you need to let that absorb as well. If you begin applying your primer and your foundation before your moisturizer or sunscreen has fully absorbed, they can cause your makeup to break up sooner. All right, let's talk, how do we choose our color? Foundation should sink into the skin seamlessly. You should not see the foundation color. When looking for a foundation, you need to match your underlying skin tone. The foundation will then neutralize the overtones in your skin to even it out. You really should know whether you are cool, warm, or neutral in tone. General basic rule of thumb is look at your inner wrist and your veins there. If you have green veins at your wrist, you probably are warm. If you have blue veins, you're cool. If you look better in gold jewelry, you're warm. If you look better in silver jewelry, you're cool. But this is basic. This is, you know, just general. There are variables. If you're just stumped and it's not very obvious whether you are cool or warm, you may be neutral, and that's okay. Many people are. When choosing a foundation for my clients or for yourself, you have to choose two or three shades by eye of what you think is your color. It is very important to look at the skin in natural daylight, as artificial light casts its own color onto the skin and you won't get a true color match. So that's why many times when we could go into department stores and go up to the counters, we would see colors, whether it's foundation or any color, lipstick, whatever, and it looks one way and you think it's fabulous and you take it home and you're like, wait a second. This doesn't look like it looked in the store, especially if you're going home and applying it in artificial light, and then you go out into natural daylight and you're like, wait a second, how come I look different in the bathroom mirror and now I looked completely different outside? So it's very important to look at the skin in natural daylight, as you know, artificial light is just bad. Bad, bad, bad. Apply a little bit of each one of your two to three shades along the jawline, side by side. So we want it next to the jaw because we want to be as close to the face and the neck at the same time. If it disappears and melts into your skin, then it's the right color. But if you can see the foundation and the color is obviously lighter or darker than your skin, then it's the wrong color. Take a little bit down onto the neck to double check. You can't do this on your hand or on your arm, as the skin there has a different texture and tone from the skin on your face, and you won't get an accurate match. If you cannot find the exact shade for your skin, then you have to mix two of the closest shades, which is very typical, and makeup artists do it more times than not. I also personally have to use two shades mixed for myself. But don't stress that you have to buy two foundations, you know, because it just lasts you longer. And as is very typical, we're a little bit paler in the winter. So we would use maybe the lighter of the two, and a bit darker in the summer. So we're going to use the darker of the two. So it's not like you're going to get stuck with a lot of foundation that you're not going to use. Don't color match only your face, as your neck and décolleté are different than your face, and you want to find a color that blends into the face and the neck, as I said. So the goal is to always avoid a line of demarcation. And don't forget your ears. I see lots of people with white ears. sticking out. Don't forget your ears, don't forget your neck, and don't forget your décolleté if you're showing that area of skin. In spite of all your efforts, you find a color that blends seamlessly into your face, but still your neck is a bit lighter, then just warm up your neck with a bit of bronzing powder. Now, a quick word on oxidation and what it is. Basically, oxidation is a chemical reaction between your makeup and the air. You think you found the perfect shade of foundation, only to realize it turns a deeper orange color a few hours after applying it. I've noticed this on myself as well. It looks perfectly matched to my skin upon application, and then later on I look at myself in daylight and my face looks more orange. This is very typical. You want to give the formulation time to oxidize and react with your skin and allow the true tones to come through. The primary reason is the interaction between the oils on your skin and the pigments in your foundation. A foundation, let's say with a subtle peach undertone, can intensify into more orange as the oil in your skin produces and saturates the foundation. This usually happens within 1 to 3 hours after you apply the foundation. Although for some, it will take longer and it's usually by the end of the day. The same thing can occur with face powders that seem to deepen as they combine with the oils on our face. So you want to first make sure that you apply makeup, your foundation is applied to clean, fresh, clean skin. If you have oily skin, prime it with a mattifying primer that's specifically for oily skin to create an absorbent barrier that inhibits the oils from interfering with your foundation. It may be that the oils in your moisturizer are mixing with your foundation and intensifying the color and the undertones. So maybe switching to a lighter daytime moisturizer may help. Now also, oxidation can occur in the bot just with your foundation just sitting long term. If you've bought foundation and it's still sitting around after a year, chances are that it is now oxidizing and it's changing over. If you loved your foundation in the beginning, but eventually the color stopped looking natural and it's just, looking funky, there's a good chance that oxidation may be to blame. So as a general rule, any liquid or cream foundation should be used up or discarded within a year of opening it and getting oxygen into it. You want to possibly select your foundations that come in airtight, light restrictive, dark packaging to protect the stability of the makeup. And as an extra precaution, if the packaging is clear, glass or plastic, store it in a dark place to protect the contents from being exposed to the light. Now, applying your foundation, you want to apply foundation in the center of your face first, because wherever you first apply any product, whether it's blush or bronzer or eyeshadow or foundation, wherever you first apply, that's where you're going to get the highest concentration of application of color. So apply foundation in the center of your face first, because this is where we need the most coverage, so that most amount of product will be there, and then you blend it outwards. So preferences change daily, because so does our skin. Some days we want and need more coverage and others we don't. Many times there's areas of the face that needs a bit more product than others, so we just reapply a second application only to those areas, not all over the entire face. I see girls, they put this foundation, they just sort of pack it on, they spackle their whole face with foundation, when, as I say, the T-zone, the center of the face, is where it gets the highest concentration, and you may need a second application in that area. But you are perfectly fine with just a thin one layer of application to the rest of the face. If you think you're hiding your wrinkles by piling on the foundation, Excess makeup just exaggerates them. You need to know this for women over a certain age. It's not hiding anything when you think that you're, you know, packing on makeup will take away your wrinkles. It's not. It's just settling into all your crevices, and you want to make sure that you apply with a brush or a sponge, not your fingers. You will get a much smoother and even coverage when applying with a brush. After applying your foundation with a brush, take a damp makeup sponge and gently press it all over your face. This is what I do for my clients. This is what I do for myself as well. This removes any extra foundation that has settled into your lines and creates a softer finish. It picks up the excess. And also, you want to do that after you've applied your powder as well. With the damp sponge, go over the powder. It sets it, and also it kind of pushes moisture, a little extra moisture into the lines and wrinkles. You see all these Instagram influencers just packing on this foundation and all these products like they're spackling walls. Ignore social media trends and remember that foundation should wear like a second skin and look sheer and natural. I always apply foundation first under the eyes before concealer. Some people will say put your concealer first and then your foundation. But I like to put the foundation first if I see that my client does not need a lot of coverage underneath the eyes. Many times the foundation is enough to cover and smooth, and no concealer is needed. Or perhaps maybe just a little extra concealer is needed after you've applied the foundation and you see just a little bit extra is needed. But if you apply your concealer first and then your foundation, you're going to end up with more product than you probably necessarily need. Remember, after a certain age, the less product used is better. Many times you want to use a lighter, if you're using just foundation, use a lighter, the one shade lighter of what you normally use as your concealer under the eye. Some women don't feel like wearing foundation all the time, but still would like to cover up underneath the eyes. That's fine. You can use a concealer without a foundation, but remember, still moisturize under your eye. Match the concealer as close as you can to your natural complexion. You can mix a little primer in with the concealer and then lightly dab it lightly around the eye area. The primer concealer combination is a great tip because the primer keeps everything there without sliding off your face. In addition, the combination of the two looks more natural and not as cakey. Another method is to use a creamier concealer that is light in texture, so it's more blendable. If you have no under eye issues or blemishes, your foundation can be enough underneath the eye. So I want to talk a little bit about concealers and correctors now. Briefly, I'll go over each. I'm often asked if there is a difference between color correctors and concealers, and if a corrector is really necessary. The answer is yes. If you need a color corrector, yes. Not everybody needs a color corrector. I do not. I don't have darkness under my eyes. I have a little bit darkness in the inner corners, as most people do. It's just because of the shape, just the way we're shaped, it creates a darkness in that crevice. So I only have to put foundation all over my face, under my eyes, no concealer, and I will just take a little bit of concealer and dab it into the inner corners, and I'm fine. But yes, you need correctors because they neutralize colors. Some people are so dark and blue or ashy underneath their eyes that no concealer in the world is going to help them. You have to correct the color first and neutralize it. Now, green neutralizes and cancels out redness, so they're good for rosacea or pimples or broken capillaries before applying your foundation. light green or yellow is good on fair skin, but if you're darker complected, you need the deeper shades. Peachy salmon shades brighten under the eyes for fairer skin. And for darker skin, you want to go the deeper peach to orange. And for very dark ashy skin, such as South Asians, they need deep red correctors first before any concealer. You must use a corrector on very dark Asian skin. If you apply a concealer on top of dark Asian skin, ashy skin that has not been corrected and neutralized first, it'll just look muddy and dirty and ashy. Many women just need, as I said, the concealer just in the inner corner, but they smear it on all over in large triangles and spackle it on because that's what they saw some 20-year-old influencer doing on YouTube. Go easy, darling. Easy, easy, easy. And powder just where the concealer was applied. The tiniest bit of powder. That's general all over your face or just underneath where you've applied the concealer, because powder adds dryness and texture to all the wrinkles and crevices of your face. One tip is take your light pinky finger and rub it over the powder. And then brush off all the excess and whatever's left on your pinky finger, then just dab lightly over the concealer where you've applied the concealer. And that's it. Remember, our over 40 gals, go easy on the products, especially around your eyes. Now you want to put your foundation over your eyelids because this can act as your eyeshadow primer. That's usually enough. You don't need an extra eyeshadow primer. And foundation over your lips can also act as a lip primer. I always take the foundation and apply it everywhere. And this saves on extra products. Now, of course, these YouTube influencers, they want to pack on 72 different products that they use because the more products they tell you to put on your face, they make money on that. If they told you to use 4 products on your entire face, they'd only get paid on 4 products. It's the same as when you go to the makeup counters, they want to sell you this and this and this and this and that because they're making commission. I like less is more. I'm a glamour makeup artist. I like drama. I like dramatic, but with the least amount of products as possible to give me that glamour and that drama. Now, just a word on primers. These come in creams and gels and serums. Primers create a base for your foundation, filling in the fine lines and pores and giving the skin a smoother finish. It ensures foundation glides on easily and improves its coverage and staying power. Primers may be formulated to moisturize, hydrate, illuminate, or absorb excess oil and mattify. So make sure you're getting one for your skin type. Primers are water-based or silicone-based. But you just can't use any primer. You have to know which one to use. Now, facial oils are also big these days, and I use them myself, both personally and on my clients. I love facial oils. And while I'm completely on board with them in terms of skincare, using oil as a primer could be tricky. Oils are not a one-type-fits-all type of thing. Oil and water do not mix. Therefore, if you are opting for an oil-based primer, whether it be a face oil or a primer specifically formulated with oil, it simply won't react well with a water-based foundation. So this is where it starts getting tricky. And this is actually the reason why I'm doing this episode, because I hear so many women discussing, they're confused. And hey, I rightfully so. There's so much information out there. There's so many products out there. You know, years ago when I first got into makeup back in the dinosaur era, you didn't have as much information and as many products as you have now. But So you have to know there's a simple rule when applying silicone-based foundations. Silicones sit on top of the skin and form a barrier. It never really evaporates like water can, so it sits on the surface of the skin. Water formulations can now no longer be used on top of silicone. You can only use water-based products under silicone. So you have three options: water-based moisturizer, water-based primer, water-based foundations and concealer. Or silicone-based moisturizer, silicone-based primer, silicone-based foundation concealer. Or water first and then silicone. Never silicone and then water. The water will just bead and pill off of the silicone. When you try to apply a water-based foundation on top, the silicone repels the water and does not let the water in the foundation to soak in the way that a water-based foundation needs to in order to blend into the texture of your skin. Now, using a silicone-based foundation on top of a water-based primer does not result in the same issue, because the water in the primer or the moisturizer, et cetera, absorbs first into your skin, and then the foundation that may be silicone is applied on top of it, and then it's sealed in. So the foundation I personally use is silicone. On clients, usually, most of them get a silicone. The silicone foundation doesn't require you to use a primer because it has silicone. It already has a primer in it. Remember, a lot of primers are silicone. So if you have a silicone foundation, you usually don't need a primer prior to it. And it still leaves your skin looking very smooth, wrinkle-free, and natural. So, if I haven't confused you yet, silicone-based foundations react well with silicone-based primers. Water-based foundations worked well with water-based primers. But how can you tell what your product has in it? In order to determine whether a product is water-based or silicone-based, you have to look at the ingredients. Words ending in C-O-N-E, cone, or O-X-A-N-E, oxane, cone or oxane, near the top of the list tend to signal that it's a silicone-based product. Some of the most common silicones used in cosmetics are dimethicone and trimethicone. So if you see these words or any words ending in C-O-N-E, cone, near the very top of the list of ingredients, it's silicone-based. Water will always be at the top of your list for most liquid products, because water has to be in the ingredients to make it liquidy and blendable. That doesn't mean it's a water-based product just because water is the first ingredient. Without water, the product would not be spreadable. If it didn't contain water, it would be a solid. So you want to first ignore that water is going to be the first ingredient and look for the next two or three, four ingredients. If they end in the cone, or the oxane, it's silicone. Now, usually with primers, they're silicone, and you can feel that silicone slippery feel. Water-based products have no cone or methicone or siloxane words near the top of the list. That means it's water-based. If you look at the ingredients and water is the first ingredient, and down past towards the end, you start seeing dimethicone or silicone, etc., and it's low on the list, that means it contains a very small amount of silicone and it's a water-based product. Now, what about your powders? There's no such thing as a water-based powder. It wouldn't be a powder. Most powders have talc as their first ingredient, silica powder. There are a couple of kinds of silica, toxic and not toxic. So rest assured, the legitimate makeup companies are not using the toxic silica in your face powders. But silica usually, it's very absorbent. So it's usually good for a oily skin. If you have really dry skin, you want to specifically look for a powder that is great for dry skin. So remember that using two products with the same base doesn't necessarily mean that the products are going to work for you. Not every product works the same for every person. You need to experiment. You have to find the combination that works for you. Unfortunately, it's hard during COVID to go to a counter and ask for samples. But you can look online for companies that are making small sizes now because they understand, you know, in these times that we don't want to buy 100 full-size products and try them and then, you know, get stuck with them or return them. So some final thoughts. If you wear the right color and the right formulas and you apply with the right techniques, you actually will look younger than if you're not wearing any makeup at all. So for my over 40 gals, don't be afraid to wear makeup. You just have to use the right makeup and use the right techniques. And clean your face at night. Never sleep in your makeup. I always advise my clients to take care when washing their face because, as I said, most of my clients are using silicone foundation. And remember, silicone is made to cling onto the skin, so does not wash off as quickly and as easily as a water-based foundation. One quick washing is not going to cut it. You need to give your face an extra washing to make sure you remove all traces of that silicone. All right, that's it for today, bombshells. Please leave a review. You can find me on Apple, Spotify, and Anchor, but I look for the reviews on Apple. So if you're on Apple, please leave me a review. I would love to get some more reviews and tell your friends to subscribe. If you're unsure of how to exfoliate or choose your color foundation, if I've confused you at all with this episode, you can book a virtual lesson with me. It's not as complicated as it sounds, really, but it is a little bit easier in person or even virtually to discuss ingredients and labels and see colors and whatnot. All info is on my website at divaglam.com. Until next time, bombshell, stay fabulous.